welcome to the She Sits at His Feet podcast with me, Cicely Renee, and we talk about Christian lifestyle and creative well-being. I'm super excited that you are here, and we are going to dive right on in. Let's get started. Hey, 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 it's your girl, Cicely Renee, and I'm so excited that you are here. I'm excited about this podcast episode because it is just, it reminds me of how big God is, how dope He is, how amazing He is, and that He loves us. He loves me and He has plans. And so let's go ahead and just hop right in, okay? So I spent my entire life putting my trust in man and myself and the heartbreak, the struggles, and the disappointments. Very overwhelming. Thankfully, God is a forgiving Father, a patient Father, and a loving Father. Yeah, and because of all the letdowns that I experienced, I put up boundaries, okay? I put up ceilings and limits. And, you know, when I came back to God and surrendered all my life to Him, I had to start retraining my brain because I was putting those same limits and boundaries up for everybody in the world on Him. And He had to remind me of who He is and what He is capable of. And know that you or I will never be able to see just how magnificent He is. But He gave me this phrase, believe God for bigger, and I intend to do so. So I got this phrase, I think maybe in December, and it was for 2024. And so, you know, we know that He can do the impossible. It says it in the Word. We also read that He caused the lame man to walk. We also read that He raised people from the dead. He also parted the Red Sea. And so, like, I was reading through the Psalms, and many of the chapters reflect on what amazing things God did for the Israelites. And it was just very encouraging. So my personal founding scripture for 2024 is Psalm 95:1-7, with a strong focus on verses 3-5. And so I'm going to read that for you, okay? It says, oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come into His presence with thanksgiving. Let us make a joyful noise to Him with songs of praise. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. In His hand are the depths of the earth. The heights of the mountains are His also. The sea is His, for He made it, and His hands formed the dry land. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture and the sheep of His hand. Today, if you hear His voice, harden not your hearts. So our Heavenly Father, the ultimate Creator, the original Creator, who made the heavens and the earth, the galaxies, painted the skies, and created us in His image, should remind us that our asks are too small. When our asks are small, that shows doubt, lack of faith, and that you do not trust for Him to show up. Now, I'm not saying go and ask for a Lamborghini or $1 billion. That is fleshy and superficial. Your ask should be aligned with God's word and the work for the kingdom. When our asks are small, it shows that you think you are unworthy for God to love you with blessings. Yes, we are all sinners, and the enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy. But thank God for Jesus, who came that we might have life more abundantly. And that is John 10:10. And in Ephesians 1:3-11, this is a great reminder that we were made for more than we think. We are chosen here for a purpose, and our lives should glorify the Lord. So when we ask, our ask should be so great that only God can fulfill it. And we will get, or not we, but He will get all the glory, and not us. He gets all the glory. So here are the verses. Ephesians 1:3-11. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before Him. In love, he predestined us for adoption to himself as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, with which he has blessed us in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he has lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will, according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. In him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will. Over the past 15 or so months, I was in the wilderness. I was in a wilderness season. And when you're in a wilderness season, you have to sit and trust God. I had no idea what I was supposed to be doing. And I'm the type that always has something going on, always on the move, making moves. Yet that season caused me to sit and be still. At first, it was very awkward. I was like, I don't even know how to sit. I don't know how to sit still, you know. But then I loved every minute of it. I reveled in it. I spent my days soaking in his presence and his word. The transformation was wild, because if you have been following me for the past 10 years, you know that this used to be the bougie black blogger, you know. And so now, like, it's not. It's she sits at his feet. And then also, like, the music I listen to changed, the shows I love to watch, I couldn't stand anymore. The things I didn't do anymore. And I wrote a book called Living with God in the Season of Ambiguity. You should check it out. It's really awesome. A quick read and reflective. So yes, okay. The wilderness season was all about preparation, patience, and capacity building. My capacity needed more room mentally, emotionally, physically, professionally, and spiritually. Either God was going to make it bigger, or he was going to move things to make space. And that's what he did. He removed things and made it a little bigger. God was calling me to a new level, if you will, new territory. He gave me a ministry, a few actually. So the preparation, the training was all about studying his word, applying it to my life, and getting ready to go and share that with the world. And so God was teaching me about using and applying wisdom in everything I do and partnering with him, because he is the only one that will bless it. Excuse me. And so patience, which is not my strong suit, okay? Being the only child and being used to relying solely on myself allowed me to do things when I wanted and how I wanted it. I was resourceful. I didn't need others. God was like, you need others. And now you have to slow down and allow things to flow. We aren't rushing greatness. We do not want to jump the gun, and we do not want to disqualify ourselves because we are operating out of the rush life. We have access to so much so quickly that we think that is how life is supposed to be. Whew. So remember that movie, Click, with Adam Sandler? He couldn't stand having to work so much, so he got a remote control to fast forward through all the boring times. And ultimately, he fast forwarded too much, missing so much. The message was to cherish the time you had, even if it is mundane, y'all. So there is a time for everything. And you know that passage. Many times we try to rush our seasons, ignore them, or try to find hacks. But in Ecclesiastes 3, it tells us there is a time for everything. For everything, there is a season and a time for every matter under heaven. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to pluck up what is planted. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to break down and a time to build up. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to seek and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to cast away, a time to tear and a time to sow, a time to keep silence and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, time for war and a time for peace. Whew, I don't know what season you are in, but in every season, I want to remind you that you need to believe God for bigger. Trust in his will that he has for your life. God will blow your mind, okay? And so as I transition to this next season, I am reminding myself to take the limits off God and let him do his work. I'm entering my 8th year in Dallas, and a lot of things are going to happen. I am excited to see what he does. I enjoy and embrace the journey. And I wrote a blog called The Biblical Meaning of 8. And so if 7 is completion, what is 8? And so it's the start of a new season. And so it is funny how my year 7 was as if God was wrapping up loose ends, closing out what I thought life was and how to live it. And then I enter into year 8 with a new nonprofit ministry where I'm so excited to share God's word through creativity and service. And as I leave the season of ambiguity and enter into the season of surrendering to God's will and way, there's no other choice than to believe God for bigger. Okay? And this is my prayer for you. I pray that you too will remove the limits you have placed on God. I pray that you surrender your life to his will, allowing him to do a good work in you. I pray that he blows your mind as you step into 2024. I am grateful for you, sis. You are here to do good works and be fruitful and multiply. I pray that you use your gifts to glorify God. In Jesus' name, amen. So I want you to reflect. I want you to think back on the limits that you put on God. And what you can believe God for bigger. What is he telling you to do? What do you want to do? How can you partner with God in moving forward? Go ahead and put that in your journal and pray about it. Peace and blessings.